welcome to this edition of the Fireside Bookshelf. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week, she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope they will enhance your study of the Scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths to marriage and parenting to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
One of my oldest and dearest friends lost her mother earlier this year. Losing one's parents is an experience most adult children face with intense trepidation, even when there is the assurance that heaven is the next destination for the parent who died. Nothing can truly prepare you for the moment, and nothing can allow you to escape the process of pain and grieving. And for those of us who come alongside our hurting friends and loved ones, it can be difficult at times to find the right words to convey understanding and offer comfort as they walk through this certainty of life. And at other times, the loss suffered is not the loss of a loved one, but perhaps the loss of health, stability, or security. In a world that seems to be in constant turmoil, peace often seems to be our scarcest commodity. Suffering, sorrow, and death are part of the world we live in. Yet for the Christian, the perspective and response to these difficulties is, or should be, different from that of those who don't know Christ. Yet too often this does not appear to be the case. For more than 100 years, the counsel that F.B. Meyer gives in his timeless classic, Peace, Perfect Peace, has ministered comfort to those in need. This beautifully written volume comprises of just 4 short chapters, and yet paints incredibly descriptive pictures of the spiritual truths packed within its pages. A book that can be read in a single outing to your favorite coffee shop, the perfect gift for a grieving or hurting friend, a resource of hope, strength, and comfort when the right words seem to fail us. So come be a part as F.B. Meyer conveys God's heart to us by gently but firmly communicating the extent of God's peace as it relates to the pertinent, the afflicted, the sorrowing, the bereaved, and those who administer comfort to others. Peace, perfect peace. What music there is in the words! The very mention of them fills the heart with longings that cry out for satisfaction and will not be comforted. Our nature sighs for rest, just as the ocean shell, which when placed to the ear, seems to sigh for the untroubled depths of its native home. There is peace in the silent depths of the ocean, which began with such gentle tenderness over our fevered, troubled lives. There is peace in the rest of the unruffled waters of the mountain lake, sheltered from the wind by the giant cliffs that surround it. There is peace at the heart of the whirlwind that sweeps across the desert in its fury. But is there peace for us? There is. As Jacob lay dying in Egypt, he prophesied how Shiloh, the peaceful one, the peace giver, would come to give peace to men. Weary generations passed, and still he did not come, until at length there stood among men one whose outward life was full of sorrow and toil, but whose sweet, calm face mirrored the unbroken peace that reigned within him. He had peace in himself, and he had the power of passing that peace on to others, for he said, "My peace I give to you." Why shouldn't each of us receive the peace which Jesus had himself, and which he waits to give every longing, receptive heart? Receive his peace with open arms. Isaiah 26 tells us, his peace is perfect, unbroken by storms, uninvaded by mundane cares, unreached by the highest searches of sorrow, unstained by the contaminating touch of sin. The very same peace that reigns in heaven, where all is perfect and complete. His peace is like a river, Isaiah 48:18. The person who dwells on its banks in times of drought is well supplied with water. It flows at early dawn as he goes his daily toil. It is there at the scorching noon. It is there when stars shine, hushing him to sleep with the melody of its waves. Think, too, how it broadens and deepens and fills up in its onward journey from its source to the boundless, infinite sea. So may our peace abide and grow with our years. Learn the lesson of the Lake of Galilee, that the peace which is in the heart of Jesus, and which he gives to his own, can quell the greatest wind that ever swept down the mountain ravine and spent itself in the rising waters beneath. For when the Master rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still," the wind ceased and there was a great calm. His peace is compatible with much tribulation. We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God, Acts 14:22. But in the midst of it all, it is possible to be in unbroken peace, like that which possessed the heart of Jesus and enabled him to calmly work a miracle of healing amid the commotion of his own arrest. His peace that passes all understanding, Philippians 4:7. God's peace cannot be put into words. It defies analysis. It must be experienced to be understood. This peace will guard our hearts and minds, going back and forth like a sentry before a palace, keeping intruders from breaking in. Oh, that we might ever be protected by a guardianship so helpful and so watchful and so invulnerable to attack. However, there are a few conditions, Meyer warns, that demand our careful thought. The basis of peace is the blood of Christ. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, Colossians 1:20. We sometimes hear men speak of making their peace with God, but that is wholly unnecessary. Peace has already been made. When Jesus died on the cross, he did all that needed to be done and all that could be done, so far as God was concerned, in order to bring peace to men. Nothing more is required except to lay aside fear and suspicion and to accept the peace that he now sweetly and freely offers. God, who was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Be reconciled. 2 Corinthians 5:19-20. The broken law, which might press its claims, is silenced by the full and complete satisfaction rendered in the obedience and death of the lawgiver himself. Because of this, God can be just and yet justify the believer in Jesus. The heart should always be glad when it learns that the sure basis of peace is in the blood shed on the cross. Remember that God sees it, even if you do not, and be at peace. The method of peace is by faith in God's word. How many Christians miss God's peace because they look into their hearts to see how they feel? If they feel right and happy, they are at peace. But if they are physically or emotionally sick, they become sad, depressed, and restless. Peace has taken flight. This will never do, Meyer declares. Life is not meant to be one long, torturous journey. This is not the blessed life that Jesus came to give us. To live like this is indeed to miss the prize of our high calling and to cast dishonor on his dear name. If you seek peace through emotions and feelings, you will seek it in vain. It may arrive, but like an overnight guest, it will not stay. It will visit you like a transient gleam over the hillside, but it will only be a tiny break between long leagues of cloud. There is a more excellent way, Meyer assures us. Take up the Bible, the Word of God. Turn to some of the texts that shine like brilliant stars in the midnight sky. Concentrate your mind and your heart upon their mighty meaning. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. John 5:24. By him, everyone who believes is justified from all things. Acts 13:39. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. What do these words mean? Can they mean any less than they say? And if they are as they seem, is it not clear that he who believes stands before God as a reconciled, accepted, and beloved child? But what does it mean to believe? To believe is to look up to Jesus as your personal Savior, handing over to Him the whole burden of your soul for time and eternity. It is to be sure that He takes it at the moment you give it, even though you feel no immediate peace or joy. Belief at the onset is trust. You may believe your faith is so weak, but that does not matter, Meyer reveals, because nothing is said about the amount of one's faith. Because the word belief is so delightfully vague, the greatest faith could not make you more secure, and the smallest faith could not put you outside the circle of God's blessing. You may not be sure if you have the right faith, but all faith, any faith, is the right faith if it is in Christ. The faith that can only lay down its weary weight on Jesus. The faith that staggers towards Him and drops into His arms. The faith that cannot cling because its hands are so weak, but which calls to Him, believing that He can save. That is all the faith you need, and in exercising it, you are saved. Yet you may not feel saved. But who said that feeling saved was an essential condition of salvation? Remember that it is one thing to be saved, it is quite another thing to feel it. The one may exist without the other. The moment you look to Jesus, you are saved, whether you feel it or not. Don't think about your feelings, don't think about your faith. Look to Jesus and reckon that God will keep His word and save you. The result of all of this must inevitably be peace. Faith simply turns to the Word of God and puts its finger on one of His exceedingly great and precious promises, saying, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him until that day. 2 Timothy 1:12. The secret of peace is constantly referencing the care of God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6-7. Acid dropped on steel and allowed to remain will soon corrode. If we allow worries and anxieties to brood in our hearts, they will soon break up our peace, just as a swarm of tiny gnats will make a paradise uninhabitable. There is only one thing to do. We must hand worries and anxieties over to Jesus, as soon as they occur. It will not do to wait until the day is over, Meyer counsels, but in the midst of its busy rush, whenever we are conscious of having lost our peace, we should drop whatever we are doing and ask ourselves why. Then lift up our hearts and pass it off to the care of our loving and compassionate Lord. If only we would acquire this blessed habit. We look so weighted and live such burdened lives because we do not trust Jesus with all the little worries of daily life. There is nothing too small for Him if it hinders our peace. And once you've handed everything over to Him, refuse to take it back again, and treat the tendency to do so as a temptation to which you dare not give way, not even for a moment. Cares and concerns come from many sources. Our daily needs, our dear ones, our worldly prospects, our Christian ministry, our pathway in life, our spiritual growth. All these contribute their quota to the sum total. Let us take them all, lay them down at Jesus' feet, and leave them there. Then live, looking to Him to do in us, with us, through us, for us, just as He wills. And as we give Him our cares, He will give us His peace. And as He does, so will He whisper, My peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. However, if we're going to try to govern our own lives, we must not be surprised if our hearts are like the troubled sea when it cannot find rest. There can be no peace, because there is perpetual clashing and rebellion. We are out of harmony with God and His will, which must be done, whether in us or in spite of us. But as soon as we put the governing of our lives, down to the smallest details, into the hands of the Lord Jesus, then we enter into His own infinite peace. And when His governing is extended over our hearts and lives, so does our peace extend, as when the blessed light of dawn spreads like a benediction over the world. In me you may have peace. It is our Savior who said these words, "Let us abide in Him. Let us live in Him. Let us walk in Him. Let us make of Him the secret place to which we continually go." You may be passing through a time of deep sorrow. The love on which you were trusting has suddenly failed and dried up like a brook in the desert, now a dwindling stream, then shallow pools, and at last, drought. You find yourself listening for footsteps that do not come, waiting for a word that is not spoken, pining for a reply that is long overdue. Perhaps your financial savings have suddenly disappeared. Instead of helping others, you must be helped. Or you must leave the warm nest where you have been sheltered from life's storms to go alone into an unfriendly world. Or you are suddenly called to assume the burden of some other life, taking no rest for yourself till you have steered it through dark and difficult seas into the haven. Your health, sight, or energy is failing. You carry in yourself the sentence of death. The anguish of anticipating the future is almost unbearable. At such times, life seems almost insupportable. Will every day be as long as this? Will the slow-moving hours ever again increase their pace? Will life ever wrap itself in anything other than the autumn remnants of past summer glory? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in His anger shut up His tender mercies? Is His mercy gone forever? You are not alone in your questioning. You are not alone in your cares and concerns. This is a road that's been traveled by many. Think of the desolating wars that have swept through every century and devastated every land, and of all the calamity, the oppression, the wrong which the weak and defenseless have suffered at the hands of their fellow man, of the unfathomable sorrows of women and children. Surely you must see that much of the human race has passed through the same bitter grief as those that tear your heart. Jesus Himself trod this difficult path. The apostles, prophets, confessors, and martyrs have passed by the same way. It is comforting to know that others have traveled in the same dark valley. But for now you wonder why. As a believer, you may talk of chastisement or correction, for our Father does deal with us as with sons and daughters. You may speak of reaping the results of mistakes and sins dropped as seeds into life in former years. You may have to bear the consequences of sins and mistakes of others, but do not speak of punishment. Surely all the guilt and penalty of sin was laid on Jesus, and He put them away forever. His were the stripes and the chastisement for our peace. If God punishes us for our sins, it would seem that the sufferings of Christ were incomplete, and if He began to punish us, life would be too short for the infliction of all that we deserve. But sorrow is our refiner's tool. It may be caused by the neglect or cruelty of another, by circumstances over which the sufferer has no control, or as a dark result of some dark hour in long past. But since God has permitted it to come, it must be accepted as His appointment. It must be considered as the furnace by which He is searching, testing, probing, and purifying the soul. Suffering searches us as fire does metals. We think we are fully for God until we are exposed to the cleansing fire of pain. Then we discover, as Job did, how much rubbish there is in us, how little real patience, yieldedness, or faith. Nothing so detaches us from the things of this world and the enticement of earthly affections as sorrow does. There is probably no other way by which the power of the self-life can be arrested so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. But do not fear. God always keeps the discipline of sorrow in His own hands. The moments are carefully allotted. The severity of the test is exactly determined by the reserves of grace and strength which are lying unrecognized within, but will be sought for and used beneath the severe pressure of pain. Scripture affirms, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond what you are able, and will also make the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Remember, in sorrow the Comforter is always near. Dare to repeat it often, though you do not feel it, and though Satan insists that God has left you. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalms 46:1. Sometimes when friends come to console you, they talk of time's healing touch, as though the best balm for sorrow were to forget. Or in their well-meant kindness, they suggest travel, diversion, amusement, and show their inability to appreciate the black night that hangs over your soul. But all the while, Jesus is near, understanding how they affect you, knowing each throb of pain, touched by his fellow feeling, silent in the love too full to speak, waiting to comfort you hour by hour. There can be no doubt that some trials are permitted to come to us, as to our Lord, for no other reason than that, by means of them, we should be able to empathize with and help others. Thus we learn by the things that we suffer, and being made perfect, become authors of priceless and eternal help to other souls in agony. God will not always be causing grief. He traverses the dull brown acres with his plow, cultivating the ground that he may be able to cast in precious grain. Believe that in days of sorrow he is sowing light for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Look forward to the reaping. Anticipate the joy which is set before you and will flood your heart when patience has completed her perfect work. You will live to recognize the wisdom of God's choice for you. You will one day see that the thing you wanted was only second best. You will be surprised to remember that you once nearly broke your heart for what would have never satisfied you if you had caught it. You will become possessed of a depth of character, a well of sympathy, a fund of patience, and an ability to understand and help others, which as you lay them at Christ's feet for him to use, will make you glad that you were afflicted. You will see God's plan and purpose. You will reap his harvest. You will behold his face and be satisfied. And as we are joined to him in the intimacy of deepest union, the peace that fills his heart, like a serenely placid ocean, shall begin to flow into ours until we are filled with the very fullness of God. The peace of God, like a fluttering dove, will settle upon our hearts and make its home forevermore. Meyer writes, "That this peace may become the blessed portion of you, my reader, is my sincerest wish." Peace, Perfect Peace, by F.B. Meyer, can generally be found through your local Christian bookstore or online in hardcover, paperback, and digital format. There is so much more to learn from this little gem than what time allowed to be shared here today, and I am certain it will bless you in such a way that not only will you treasure it always, but will be compelled to gift it to others when you see a need arise in their lives. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf. None of the books featured on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis. We are grateful, however, to be able to benefit from the research and works of others who seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and provide insights to help strengthen and deepen our spiritual walk, and to be able to share those resources with you.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of Sharon Hearts and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhearts.org. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature, here at the Fireside Bookshelf.